you know, in honor of South Carolina, we probably should have ranked the top four chicken restaurants.
-42 That kind of says it all. Got a lot to get to. Got a great show for you here this week, following a big win down in Jacksonville. The Dogs victorious over Florida. Connor Reed, Bliss McMichael, the read option as always. Bliss, how do you feel after such a butt kicking down there this week?
It still feels a little surreal. This is one that we're going to hang on to for a while. Rightfully so. And I know we're going to kind of recap the season at some point here, but it's just crazy to think that we beat Tennessee and Florida by a combined score of 83-7. If you told me at the beginning of the season that that was going to be the outcome of those two games, I would have asked you what type of top shelf liquor you'd been drinking.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then you look at what we were talking about earlier this year, going into the year, the offense was probably going to be what was going to hold us back a little bit. And we are now, what, 4 or 5 games into SEC play, and we have yet to score below 40 points. So you got to love what you're seeing there. And then the defense is just unbelievable, is really the only term for it.
Yeah, you said it best. Crazy how this season has been panning out. Still lots of football left to be played, only 2/3 of the way done with this regular season schedule right now. But I'm loving what we're seeing so far from the Dogs.
Absolutely. And there was a lot that was, else that was going on this past week. That 3:30 time slot was great for a lot of different games. It was kind of nice that Georgia went ahead and took care of things early on in that first quarter and let us kind of flip through and watch everything else. Let's start with Notre Dame, who the Dogs already took down once this year, all of a sudden making that win look really, really good and just taking NC State to the woodshed. Got to admit, I did not see that coming.
I did see that coming, so proud of Notre Dame for getting it done.
Proud of Notre Dame or proud of yourself?
But first of all, before I jump into that game, we have got to get this TV scheduling figured out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they need to put me in charge or what, but we got to space out these big games so they're not all coming on at the same time. But that 3:30 slot was definitely where it was at this past Saturday. Every single week, that big win in South Bend looks better and better for the Dogs. Crazy to think that after last season, what, Notre Dame went 6-6 or something crazy like that, and now they're going to be in the top four in just 5 minutes here when they release the first rankings for the college football playoffs. So, hey, props to the Irish, and I'm glad that we played them when we did.
Yeah, and good point. Yeah, we are recording this before the college football playoff rankings come out, so very soon we'll see whether our predictions are right or not. But, yeah, looking back now, maybe that wasn't just an ugly game between two teams that were good but not great, but maybe it was a very good game between two very evenly matched teams. I think that we've got to at least take that into consideration as a possibility. Then Iowa State taking down my beloved TCU Horned Frogs. Let's just take a moment of silence for that one. But really, a 14-7 game. TCU, I think, had the ball in the red zone 2 or 3 times and didn't score any points. That's the epitome of a bad day right there.
Completely uncharacteristic of what we're used to seeing from TCU. And props to you for even highlighting this game. I thought you were just going to skim over it and ignore it and act like it didn't happen. But, you know, I appreciate you manning up on this one.
I wanted to because they broke my heart a little bit there. But, I don't know, Iowa State's kind of fun to watch a little bit this year. And I love the story of this Kemp kid at Iowa State finally getting his shot and taking down 2 top 5, top 10 teams to start off for a kid who's never thrown, like, any NCAA passes, a journeyman. So great to see for him and really shake some things up here and making this year just complete havoc at this point.
Absolutely. What they're doing is impressive, but the fact that they're doing it with what was originally their third string quarterback going into the season makes it even more impressive. Now you see their coach, Matt Campbell, a young guy, only 37 years old, but has had a pretty impressive tenure there at Iowa State, but his name is definitely getting thrown around for all of these current coaching vacancies and then some other coaching vacancies that we're expecting to happen by the end of the season.
Yeah, you bring up coaching vacancies, and what in the world is going on in Gainesville? Now, I'm kind of glad that we're the ones who kind of brought that whole thing to fruition, knocking out another coach there, but what in the world is happening down in Gainesville?
This is crazy. I did not see this coming at all. I think, you know, we've discussed some of the other SEC coaches that are really on the hot seat, and Jim McElwain wasn't one of those coaches for me. I think there were about four or five other coaches that needed to be more fearful of losing their jobs than he did. But I think this is, it's not 100% off the field issues, but vastly off the field issues that got him fired. Now, if he'd been undefeated this season, he wouldn't have gotten fired for off the field issues, obviously. But, you know, only in his third season here, he took the Gators to the SEC championship the last 2 years. But there is some crazy stuff going on that we just don't know about under the table. And I think a lot of it is going to come to fruition here, maybe in the next few weeks, and shed some light on things. But obviously, with all those players getting suspended because of the credit card fraud, or however, whatever term you want to put on it, and then now these stories of these death threats that he's claiming but can't substantiate, it's very, very messy there in Gainesville.
Yeah, how bizarre was that? I mean, coming with these death threats, and you're saying it's not only to your own family, but it's to the players, and yet you won't tell the administration what they are or who they are. And you don't say anything about it. You don't have anything to substantiate any of it. So you're making it up. That's obvious. But why? I don't understand. Do you really think that that's going to help? The whole thing is just so, so odd. I mean, I guess it was kind of, you know, he was on the hot seat, I guess, as it was, but now he probably costs himself $9 million by doing that, which is just crazy to think. So very strange, very just odd stuff. And I don't really have the right words to describe all of it, but, Florida's going to be looking for another coach. And at this point, you're hearing a lot of Dan Mullen, Willie Taggart, maybe Scott Frost, Chip Kelly, who gets thrown around for everything. It's going to be interesting to see who ends up getting picked for that. I wouldn't rule out Dan Mullen at this point. I think that would actually probably be a pretty good hire for them. Should be something to keep an eye on for us over the next couple months.
Absolutely. And I think there are some people that would be nervous to take that job, honestly. I mean, I know that, like I said, plenty of off-the-field issues that contributed to this. But if you're going to fire a coach, you know, 2.5 years in, pressure's on for the next guy coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's one of those things. People talk about the SEC jobs as those top tier jobs, especially of Florida, where that all that talent's in your backyard. But at some point, you got to weigh the fact that the pressure on that job, and these guys are not getting any time. How demanding the fan base is, and it's not just Florida; it's all of the SEC, really. So it's something that we're kind of creating our own monster from this sense. And yeah, you're right. I don't really know why you'd want that job at this point. It's especially if you're already at an SEC program. Yes, it's kind of hard to get people to come to Starkville, but Mullen has had some success there, and it really becomes, hey, do you want to go from people are happy if you have 8 to 9 wins a year to you could have 10 wins a year, but if you're not winning championships, no one cares. So, I mean, granted, you know, Georgia kind of did that same thing. But, again, it's do you really want to do that? And then the last game to talk about from this past week that we want to get to, a lot of them, but kind of the one that really sticks out, Ohio State taking down Penn State in what was just an absolutely crazy and unbelievable game up in the Shoe. I still can't believe that Ohio State came back and won that game, and I was there.
But I totally can. I just knew it was going to happen. So I was flipping back and forth between that game and the Georgia game, obviously. And even though the Dogs had more than sealed the win, I was still more in tune to that game, obviously. But as soon as the Georgia game got over, flipped over, saw that Ohio State was down 11 points with about 5 minutes to go in the game. And I ended up leaving the house to go to the gym and run some errands. And I sat there and had this internal debate. I was like, should I just record the rest of this game? Because I know that Ohio State is somehow going to come back, pull off a miracle, and win this thing. And I'll be darned if they did.
Yeah, I guess I was, I don't know if I was expecting, but I was definitely hoping. You definitely don't want to see.
Wait a second. Stop right there. You just admitted to the world that you were pulling for Ohio State. You were actively cheering for Ohio State.
I was in the Ohio State student section.
That isn't so. You could have just been a neutral spectator.
I mean, I had my Georgia hat on, so that was everyone knew where I stood on that. No, I wanted to see a good game. And honestly, we wrote it off. I can't tell you how many times. Honestly, we looked on that opening kickoff. As soon as Barkley took that back, we're like, oh, this isn't good. And then on the fumble on the ensuing drive, and then the touchdown scored off of that, we kind of looked at each other. We're like, yep, ball game. That's it. Done. And there were several different times when Urban decided to go for it on 4th and 8 instead of taking the points and kicking the field goal. And there were a couple other examples, but JT Barrett, I mean, that guy, for as critical as I've been, and I've really not thought he's that great of a quarterback, really took over in that fourth quarter. And, I mean, give the guy props. 3 touchdowns in the fourth to lead the team all the way back. The punt block was definitely the momentum changer there. And just a heck of a game played on both sides. Barkley was, he had 44 yards total. 36 of them came on one play. And that defensive line for Ohio State is disgusting. They are just nasty. They as a Georgia fan who we could possibly end up playing them later on, that scares me. Absolutely terrifies me. So enough of what actually happened on the field. Now we've got to get to what's most important and what we thought about it off of it. So we're going to go into blistering hot takes. Bliss, take it away.
Okay, so like you mentioned, we are recording this here on Tuesday night. The playoff show has just started. They have not released any rankings yet.
Are we going to push this live? Is that what we're going to do here?
We could do it.
I think that's a great idea.
All right. I'm liking it.
In that case.
But my hot take is just more so of a warning for everyone to pump the brakes, calm down. It's okay. Things are going to work themselves out. Don't worry about if Alabama's ranked number one and Georgia's number two or vice versa and what you think is appropriate. Don't worry about whether or not you think Notre Dame is ranked too high. In order to be the best, you got to beat the best. UGA controls their own destiny. All we have to do is keep winning. Don't pay attention to the rankings. Don't pay attention to the rat poison media. Focus on South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. And this South Carolina game is definitely going to be a bit of a trap game. Carolina, not a great team this year, but it's coming after an intense emotional game against Florida and before another big rivalry game against Auburn. So, sneaky trap game there. That's my same hot take right there. It's just
Wait,
everyone.
Who said I was done with my hot take?
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Now, I just have one more, because I know that all of the South Carolina players are listening to this, so I just want to send a message to them that it is not smart to give UGA any more locker room material. You saw what happened when Florida started trying to tell us that we may be number three in the country, but we can't beat Florida, we can't throw the ball. And now, today, one of the South Carolina players is saying, oh, UGA can run, but they can't throw. Listen, stop giving our boys any more motivation than they already need to open up a can of you-know-what on you on Saturday in Sanford Stadium.
Yep.
Georgia is doing what they need to do to win. If that means only throwing 7 passes against Florida, but then rushing for nearly 300 yards, then so be it. We'll take the 42-7 win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll get it done any way we have to. It doesn't really matter. I mean, kind of poetic justice was that defensive back for Florida just getting run over on a slant. You never want to see a guy get hurt, but getting completely truck-sticked on a slant. So that was great.
That's all that Jake Fromm can throw, slant passes.
Apparently.
Also, let's get off Jake Fromm's back. This guy is a true freshman. He is leading this team to an 8-0 record so far. If you want to call him a game manager, well, then so be it. Let's look at A.J. McCarron. If I'm a guy and you want to call me a game manager and I want to win multiple national championships and then get drafted by an NFL team and be married to a supermodel and have a really cute kid, well, then so be it. I would want to be a game manager. It sounds like that's the dream life.
Life goals. Yeah, you're not really getting hit. There's no real pressure on you. Anything
exactly.
Like that. So, tough life.
Just rock the Bama bangs and do your thing.
I mean, we are becoming Bama 2.0, right? I mean,
if that means a national championship is in our future, then I'm all about it.
Oh, I am too. I'm right there with you. Do what you got to do. All right, are you done, Princess?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't really have anything else. Mine was, again, don't overreact to this. You gotta beat Bama in the SEC championship. We got to get there first. We got to beat them. So it doesn't really matter what comes out tonight or even in the next couple weeks. So everyone just chill out. Now, we're going to go ahead because we've decided we're just going to go ahead and do this live. We're going to get some live action going here. We're going to move up our top four. Our top four today was going to be the initial playoff list, what we thought it was going to be, what we think it should be. So we're going to go ahead and move it up. We're going to go after it right now. Bliss, go ahead.
All right. Number four, Ohio State. Number three, Notre Dame. Number two, Georgia. And number one, Alabama.
Yeah.
And I'll just say real quickly, I think Alabama should be number one. It's kind of the innocent until proven guilty mentality for me. And then I put Notre Dame over Ohio State because a loss to number two, Georgia, is better than a loss to Oklahoma, even though Ohio State did just knock off Penn State. So there's my reasoning there. What you got?
All right, very similar, the same four teams, but we're just going to switch a couple of them. I've got Notre Dame, number four, Ohio State at three, Georgia at two, and Bama at one. Again, same thing for Bama, innocent until proven guilty. They're still undefeated. Got to kind of give that to them. Georgia at number two, and I flipped Ohio State and Notre Dame from you because I believe the committee looks more at your wins versus your losses. And I think that Ohio State with that win over Penn State over number two at the time, Penn State has got a better win than Notre Dame does over USC and over NC State. So that's where I'm going with that one.
And I will say for Ohio State's sake, history has said that who you lose to is important, but also when you lose is important. So the fact that they lost to Oklahoma earlier on in the season is going to work to their advantage.
Yep. I mean, we saw it last year with Clemson. Clemson lost early on to Pitt, and they hung around, and they made the playoff, and we all know what happened there. So still a long way to go, a lot of football to be played, but I'm excited that we're getting some real rankings out here, and it's not just going to be kind of the AP and the coaches polls from there on out. All right, moving over to the doghouse here. Bliss, who are you putting in the doghouse?
I mean, I have to put John Curry in there, who is the athletic director at Tennessee. What are they doing? I mean, I guess at this point, Butch is going to ride it out. I'm hoping for Tennessee's sake that they are making some moves under the table and getting somebody lined up and basically getting that 100% settled before they fire Butch Jones. But Tennessee fans are hot right now after McElwain got fired. They are not happy that has created another vacancy, not only in the SEC, but on our side of the conference as well. It's just giving them more competition when it comes out to going and finding a head coach. So Tennessee needs to get it right this time around. They've struck out three times in a row with their head coaches.
Yeah, no, Tennessee fans are livid about this right now. The new signing period in December kind of messes with things, I would assume. So it'll be interesting. Like you say, I hope they're doing some under-the-table stuff because if not, things are going to get tough there in Tennessee. I'm going to put McElwain in the doghouse simply for this whole death threat thing. Like, dude, what are you doing? Come on. If you're going to get fired, just go down with the ship at that point. Don't try to make up that people are sending death threats to your family or your players if it's not actually happening. If it was, then obviously take it seriously, but then go to the proper authorities, go to the Florida administration. Do what you've got to do on that. Call people out, but don't do all this just to try to take attention off of what's going on off the field. Just not a good look there.
Well, because he's not only shooting himself in the foot, or I guess shot himself in the foot, past tense at this point at Florida, but shooting himself in the foot for any future jobs, because now he's bringing character issues into question. I hate to say it, but people are going to question that about him, if they can trust him, if they can work with him at the administrative level.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so we're going to go into our lock of the week now. I can't even remember what mine was last week, but I'm sure I was right. Bliss, what's your lock for the week?
Dang, I really hate that I can't remember what yours was, so I could call you out. God, I kind of hate to say this in front of you, but I'm going to go with the lock of the week. I think Virginia Tech is going to take down Miami.
Yeah.
That would just be total Mark Richt fashion to be cruising and then for things to get a little haywire once November rolls around.
I think you are absolutely 100% right there. The Mark Richt factor, Virginia Tech tends to stop a bunch of streaks. Miami's on a 12-game win streak. And, you know, hopefully that this rivalry is back. It was a lot of fun in the early 2000s, the end of the Big East days and the beginning of the ACC days for both of these teams. Fun fact, Miami has never been to an ACC championship game, ever. They've been in the conference since 03-04.
That's hard to believe.
Yep. With all those teams they had, never been to an ACC title game. So that should be a great game on Saturday. Looking forward to that. My lock of the week is that Saquon Barkley has an absolutely massive day against Michigan State. He bounces back big time. I still think he's the Heisman front runner. I think he shows it against the Spartans this week.
Do you think Michigan State can test Penn State at all, or you think Penn State rolls?
You know what? I think it'll be close early, but I think Penn State ends up pulling away. I think that they're going to be angry at that loss from last week. So should be one to keep an eye on. With all that being said, I got to ask you, because, you know, we know this is a pretty divisive issue here, and I need to know your opinion. So This week's How Do You Really Feel for Bliss. How do you really feel about storming the field? The floor is yours.
So it totally depends on who you're playing, obviously. If you're a nobody and you're going to beat a top five team, by all means, go and do it. Now, I know Ohio State rushed the field after beating Penn State.
Darn right we did.
That was a huge game for them. But, like, also, Ohio State, it was, what, number six in the country? Like, a number six over number three.
Number two. A big win,
not a huge, drastic win. But you know what? I'm all about people having fun, celebrating. UGA can be a little too much of sticklers sometimes. And I know that there are some precautions that need to be taken to preserve the field, et cetera. So, but it still depends on who you're playing. Sometimes you need to have that mentality of, hey, act like you've been there before.
See, I used to be that way, but now that I've done it twice, I'm totally on the, if it's a close win over a top five opponent, something like that, go for it.
It is so
much freaking fun. Just absolutely one of the most fun things I've ever done is just, you're in a crowd of people who, everyone's trying to get on the field. It's so chaotic. Heck, at Ohio State, the ushers were actually pointing us how to get on the field instead of trying to keep us off, which I thought was hysterical. Since we did it last year, we had a better understanding of kind of what we're doing this year. And we got on. I mean, we were on before the clock even hit zero. I was arm's length from James Franklin. You know, had to take like an 8-foot drop off of a off the side of the railing there to get on the field, but it's too much fun. It's so great. Go wild. Now, I don't like the whole Clemson every time we win go on the field thing. That's kind of stupid. But yeah, I don't care if you're number four and they're number two. If you complete a comeback or something like that, that's go for it. Have a ball. And last thing here, we'll go into our favorite tweets from the week. Bliss, what do you got here?
Well, first of all, I just need to say that if you're not following Lane Kiffin, you're not doing things right.
True.
Because he has just kind of gone rogue and is just like tweeting all these things with the hashtag come to the FAU or the FAU. And like now he's just like tweeting at President Trump today. I mean, he has no boundaries, but it's really funny what he's doing. And now he like went rogue today too, tweeting all these reasons as to why LSU is going to upset Alabama. So bold move on his part. But my actual tweet of the week was from at Tusk to Tell. And this came out on October 26th. So a few days ago. And it said, "Happy Brett Bielema Day, Hogs fans. Today's day, 10-26, is the same as his SEC record. Hashtag common. Hashtag Bielema Day."
That's just cold.
Yeah. So cold-hearted.
That's so great. Okay, I'm going to go with actually a tweet from Davin Bellamy. After the game, he came out and shots towards some of the Florida players. And honestly, just a change in the mentality of the program. All he says, "We don't talk on the internet, 8-0. Absolutely love it. They hopefully got their heads down and going back to work. And now we do have some breaking news here before we get into anything else. The playoff rankings have come out, and somehow, some way, and I don't know how I feel about it yet, the Dogs are number one.
I'm speechless. Yeah. I have like this pit in my stomach. It's like a combination of wanting to throw up from being sick and nervous versus wanting to like go pop a bottle of champagne. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah. As if the target on our backs wasn't already big enough, I'm sure that Kirby will come up with something to kind of bring them back down. I actually saw a quote of his after the Florida game that we're actually going to be using our coaching staff at our lacrosse team. Humility is just a week away, so hopefully he is preaching that the whole time here. But the rest of that four, Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Notre Dame 3, and Clemson 4, which was surprising. And then I believe it is Oklahoma 5, Ohio State 6. Penn State, TCU, Wisconsin, Miami rounding out that top 10. So again, Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, and Clemson are the top 4 there. Now looking back here, we're going to take a little bit of a recap of what was one of the more fun Georgia-Florida games in recent memory. The Dogs just absolutely taking Florida behind the woodshed, 42-7. Got to be honest, I'm really just kind of disappointed we didn't end up completely shutting them out.
And there's a video clip going around of the first team defense being pretty vocal on the sidelines when second and third stringers gave up that touchdown late in the game there. But yeah, I think Florida had a record, I believe it was like 367, somewhere around there, games in a row in which they had scored, and it was the longest active streak in college football. So that would have been pretty sweet if we could have ended that for them, but, you know, I guess we can't be too greedy here. If you told me we were going to win 42-7 going into last week, I would have said there was no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that Fromm only went 4-7, about, I think it was 105 yards, and touchdown and interception. Honestly, if you're going to run for 300 plus yards and you don't need to throw the ball, why do it?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much of a point. Sony had a career high in yards on only 6 carries. Just absolute efficiency.
And I was incredibly excited for him because he has just historically not played well against Florida. He was mm-hmm. hurt one season and didn't play at all, and that being his home state, I know that that is a game that he has always looked forward to. So props to him. And even with Fromm only completing 4 passes, I think 3 of those were to Swift, who Swift is the freaking man. Like, I just
Philly Dogs.
Love the kid, excited about what he's done this season, even more excited about his future career with the Dogs. But I love that we're continuing to utilize him both in the run and the pass game.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be fun to watch for the next few years. Just the whole stable of running backs is awesome. The rest of that game scored three touchdowns on the first eight plays of the game. Florida only had 2 yards during that time. And you could tell that I've gone back and watched that game. Florida gave up. I mean, just completely gave up after they went down that big and they were done. Florida also a ton of penalties in that game. So doing essentially what Georgia usually does against Florida. So it was kind of role reversal day there. It was kind of opposite day down in Jacksonville, which totally okay with.
Absolutely. That Florida team just looked incredibly undisciplined. 14 penalties, kept jumping off sides, having illegal formations, couldn't get anything to go together, not cohesive at all. And guess what? I loved every second of it. And even Travis Tritt tweeted out something along the lines of, dang, I'm starting to feel bad for this Florida team. Wait, dot, dot, dot. No, I'm not.
Nobody likes Florida. So I think we just did everybody a
blood. Like, I was raised to love the Dogs and then hate Florida pretty much on equal levels.
I don't even know that you have to be a Dog fan to hate Florida.
No, not at all.
Because we told the Mizzou fans in their first SEC game, they're asking us about different teams, and they're like, "Oh, you guys don't seem so bad." We're like, "Yeah, I mean, we're not terrible." We said, but, you know, you'll figure out. They're like, "Oh, we always heard about this SEC hate." We said, wait till Florida comes. I remember getting a text later that season when Florida came into town from one of the guys that I met up there, and he just said, "You're right. I cannot stand these people." Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, great day for the Dogs all around, but now we got to look forward here. The South Carolina game. Like I said, sneaky trap game here. Not real sure what to think about it. Luckily, we have them between the hedges. South Carolina's given us fits the last few years. So this should be a little bit tougher than the experts think.
Well, they didn't give us a fit that year that Grayson Lambert just went nuts on
them. NCAA record holder.
That was crazy to think about. I was thinking about that earlier today.
I had forgotten about that. I was at that one.
That was a fun one. South Carolina's interesting because they have been killed by the injury bug, unfortunately, and that's something you never wish on a player. You never wish that [S2] Nope. [S1] On a team. But they haven't been tested. I think, you know, they obviously have played Georgia this week. They'll have Clemson at the end of the season, and those will be their two toughest games of the year. They did beat NC State, so we'll give them credit on that, beat them by a touchdown to open up the season. But they really haven't been as impressive on offense. If you even just quick glance over at the scores to all their games, they've kind of struggled to put up points. Even on Tennessee, only squeaked out that game 15-9. So I think that our defense is really going to challenge them, and I think that they'll have a difficult time scoring against us. But the fact that we're a 24-point favorite, that's a little ludicrous to me. I get that now we're the number one team in the country, which – golly, I can't believe I'm saying that right now.
You know, the other element that we haven't thought about here is how much just ammunition this gives Saban for if and when we do play them in the SEC championship game. I'm so afraid.
I mean, this is the storyline that everybody wants. Everybody wants Georgia and Alabama to be undefeated, be 12-0, go head-to-head. Now if Georgia would be ranked over Alabama, so you've got that storyline. And the whole thing that one of Nick Saban's previous assistant coaches has never beaten him when he's played them in their role as a head coach. So that'll be a major storyline to see if Kirby Smart could be the first person to do that. But like you mentioned earlier, we got to get there first. We still haven't won the East yet. So we can't jump ahead of ourselves. But, yeah, this is absolutely going to give Alabama ammunition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of, you know, got to get there. South Carolina, like you said, a lot of that, a lot of injury bug with them. Their defense, not very good. They gave up close to 500 yards to a Vanderbilt team that barely has an offense themselves. South Carolina is putting up about 26 points a game. But with our defense, that doesn't worry me at all. So it's really just looking, hey, what's their defense look like? Giving up 245 yards on the ground, or through the air, I'm sorry, and about 140 on the ground. So looks like we honestly should be able to kind of have a bit of a field day with that defense. That's what I'm expecting anyway. And just continue to get better, because as this ranking shows, we've got a lot to live up to, and we got some big goals here, some big aspirations now.
And this is a situation where I am incredibly thankful that Kirby Smart is our coach. Mm-hmm. I'm always thankful for that, but especially in situations like this, now that we're ranked number one in the country, because even though these players have not been there before, he's been there before. Yep. He knows what it's like to have a target on his back. He knows what it's like to have to control a team and have to drown out the media and keep the guys focused. And so he's going to approach this with the proper mentality and make sure that things off the field are being handled appropriately, and just keep everyone grounded, which at the end of the day, it's still up to the players. But I do feel like he's going to do a great job setting the tone and keeping them focused.
Yeah, and you bring that up. I mean, talking about the state of the program here, and you're right. Kirby has – we're not seeing a lot of the bonehead things that we've seen in the past. Obviously, Natrez Patrick – has done some idiotic things. But overall, when was the last time you saw Georgia just go out and take care of business like we know they can throughout the entire year like this? It's just a totally, totally different program here. And I know I've said it a lot this year. And just after beating Florida like that, it sit there and say, hey, this team is for real.
And, of course, it's exciting to be sitting here 8-0, number one in the country. But what's more impressive is exactly what you're saying, and that is the mentality of the program, the discipline of this team, and that type of thing is what's going to carry on from season to season. Now, next year we may not have as good of a record. Who knows? Maybe this is our year, and then next year's a letdown, or maybe we're even better next year. Who knows what's going to happen? But Kirby has the right mentality, the right mindset. And that's clear with just looking at our future recruiting classes, too. I mean, I really think that we've got the program on the right track, and this is something that is going to be sustainable for multiple years while Kirby's there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This is not a flash in the pan. If you look at, say, the recruiting class for next year, having Justin Fields, the number one overall rated recruit, you've got the number one running back in Zamir White, you've got the number three running back in James Cook, Dalvin Cook's brother. We got another four-star corner committed. I think we've got the fifth-ranked linebacker / defensive end coming. So the talent is just being stockpiled. And the way – it's not just the talent either. It's the way that the program is being run, the mentality, the culture change that's going on. It is just a total night and day difference from what we're used to at Georgia. And as much as I have been sitting there waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for something bad to happen, it's one of those things where you're just sitting there saying, wow, I can't believe where we're at. And I'm really starting to believe that this team is a team that can take us to where we all believe that Georgia football should be. Going to end here with taking our picks. Somehow Bliss has caught me, and this is not good. She is now up 40 to, gosh, what is your record now? Yeah, this is great radio here. 42 and 30, and I'm 41 and 31 with another 4-4 week. I'm Mr. 500 after the first couple weeks.
You know, so I think that slogan for you, Mr. 500, translates into other areas of your life as well.
That's just cruel. All right, fine. Well, then lead us off. We're going to start with Ole Miss at Kentucky. Kentucky, a 3.5-point favorite over the Landshark Rebels.
I think Kentucky will win this game easily. Ole Miss is just a hot mess, to put it nicely.
Oh, well, all right, there you go.
Analysis there, but that's just telling the truth.
I'm going to take Kentucky as well, because you're right, Ole Miss is just a mess. Florida at Missouri. Somehow Missouri is a 3.5-point favorite in this one? Sure.
But I'm picking Missouri. I think Drew Locke is going to have a good game. think Florida's demoralized. They just lost their head coach. I don't know what the relationship is with the players and this interim coach that they've got. Always interesting to see if they can rally around him or if it's just still a mess. But yeah, I'm going to be bold and take Missouri. See if they play some grown man football over there in Columbus.
I don't understand this line. Look, I know Florida's in a little bit of disarray here, but Missouri couldn't beat a decent high school team. That is a bad, bad football team. I'm taking the Gators in a landslide on this one, plus 3.5. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are a 3-point favorite here in Bedlam. Who are you taking here?
I'm kind of surprised about this line, too, but I guess they just called it even and gave Oklahoma State 3 points for being the home team. I'm going to go Oklahoma State. Why not? Let's ride the mullet train.
All right. I'm going to take OU. I think that they're kind of bouncing back here, and Oklahoma State's a little bit on a downswing. Mason Rudolph not looking nearly as good as he did earlier in the year. That running game is just kind of nowhere to be found either, so kind of confused by Okie State there, so I'm going to take the Sooners on the road in Stillwater. Iowa State is traveling to West Virginia this week. West Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite at home over the Cyclones.
Total toss-up game here. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to go with the home team, Will Grier. I think it would be tough for Iowa State to go back-to-back here, but this will be a good game. It'll be close.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good one as well, but I believe in Iowa State. Taking
the Cyclones.
What a
Cinderella story they've been.
Just every cliche in the book. Grinders, no one believed in them, all that good stuff. No, I'm taking Iowa State in that one, and I just don't really want to pick West Virginia anyway. Auburn, a 15-point favorite at Texas A&M.
Another surprising line here. If Mississippi State had not manhandled Texas A&M like they did this past weekend, this would have only been like a 6-point line probably. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Aggies to cover. I think Auburn will still win this game, but 15's a lot, especially with it being in College Station.
Right there with you. 15 is just a lot of points. And it's really definitely being influenced by that game from last week. I think everyone's trying to get that Auburn 15, get the public on that. So we're going to take the Aggies plus 15. I don't think they win the game, but they're at home. They should be able to recover. We're going to go to the ACC now. Bliss's lock of the week. Virginia Tech, a 3-point favorite on the road at Miami.
Taking the Hokies. November is here. It is time for Mark Richt to blow it.
Yeah, you got the Mark Richt factor. You've got the fact that I think Miami's completely and totally overrated. Who have they played? Cool, they beat Florida State, so is everybody this year. So I'm taking Tech, the Streak Stoppers, and should be, like I said, should be a great game. Mark Richt will undoubtedly thank the quote-unquote fans who are at the game and tell them they need to show up at the Hard Rock, which, as we know, nobody actually shows up to Miami games. So Tech is going to take it and run away with that one. LSU at Alabama. This used to be a good game. This year, not so much. Alabama, 21-point favorite.
Yeah, this used to be the game where everything was riding on it in terms of who's going to win the SEC West and go to the Dome, and then also just had some national championship and playoff implications. I'm actually changing my pick here. Uh-huh. Initially, I was going to pick LSU to cover, obviously, not to win. But now that Alabama is number 2 instead of number 1, I think that's just going to give them even more motivation. So I'm going to go with Alabama to cover. And anybody who thinks that Ed Orgeron, not that anyone does, but if anybody were to think that Ed Orgeron could walk into Tuscaloosa and make this a close game, would be out of their minds. But now Alabama has more motivation, more fire to prove their point, to be disappointed that they're not number 1 in the country. And so I think Saban's about to pour it on.
Reach. Bama's really good. LSU's not that good. It's in Tuscaloosa. What else do you need to know? And finally, the Dogs, the number 1 team in the country, a 24-point favorite between the hedges against South Carolina. Are you going to take the number 1 team?
Gosh, should I do it? 24 is so much. If it were like 20, I would take the Dogs, even though that's only a 4-point difference. But I'm going to do it. Why not? Let's ride it out. Dogs all the way. Can you imagine? God, I wish I was going to be there. It makes me so sick that I'm going back to Georgia but not going to be able to go to the game this weekend. Can you imagine, Connor, 92,746 people in Sanford Stadium this weekend when the PA announcer gets on and says, the number one team in the country, your Georgia Bulldogs.
I was thinking the same thing.
Just saying that. Can you imagine being there and hearing that over the loudspeaker? That's what's going to happen on Saturday.
Everyone just getting quiet and waiting to hear for your number one team in the country, your Georgia Bulldogs.
It's Saturday in Athens. And Dog fans, get on your feet and let's make some Sanford Stadium noise for your number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh my gosh. I'm ready to run through a brick wall. I'm also taking the Dogs for what it's worth. Just letting it roll, baby. I've been taking the Dogs all year. They've been covering for me. Gonna keep taking it. Dogs on top. All right, that's it, and that's all for us this week. Your Georgia Bulldogs are now number one. I'm still in total just shock at this point. Not really sure what to think. Bliss, how are you going to spend your weekend now knowing that we're number one? I'm just going to keep repeating it.
Well, I don't know if you know how I'm spending my weekend, but fortunately/unfortunately, I have a wedding to attend.
We all know how you feel about those.
And guess what time this wedding is at?
3:30.
4:30 Eastern time.
Oh, even worse. Even worse.
Even worse. Even worse. Of all times, I'm like, why couldn't this be a 6:30 game or 6:30 wedding, mm-hmm. something? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll just, like, have my ESPN app open while sitting in the church pew, and I'll probably miss them saying their vows, but,
whatever.
You know, you kind of know where your loyalty lies.
They're all the same.
Right. These are two UGA grads getting married too, might I add.
They should know better.
They should.
Yeah, I will be on the couch watching that game and then kind of flipping between some of these other good ones we've got as well. Hopefully we're able to take care of business early like we've been doing. So should be another great day between the hedges. Looking forward to hopefully another Georgia win and then getting ready for the Deep South's oldest rivalry and another big challenge in Auburn. So have a great week. And go Dogs, the read option.